D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick out today. We just had to break the unfortunate news to Chase McCabe that Vince Gill and Amy Grant have split up.
Yes.
Not literally, of course, but the Predators bobblehead. If you missed it the other day, Derek broke it.
Now they lay upon the death, side by side, but apart.
They're not dead.
No, they're not dead, but I'm saying they're side by side, but not apart, not together.
But Derek Mason is indeed a homewrecker, if that's what you're wondering.
Yeah. I broke up Vince Gill and Amy Grant. I am sorry to all the fans out there.
The power couple of country music.
Is no longer.
Broken up by Derek Mason.
Exactly.
So your headline out of this aggregators is that Derek Mason, homewrecker. That's what's absolutely going on.
And then it could be underlined, he pulled the cord on their base.
He pulled the plug. He pulled the plug on their relationship.
Yeah, I literally did.
He sure did. What else is going on today? The Titans are on the field for practice. We will bring you any and all updates that we find interesting. Brian Callahan has already spoken today. Some players are going to talk after practice. I think they're going to talk as they make their way off the field. I'm not sure any players are going to be addressing reporters in a formal setting. But if we hear anything or see anything, we will bring it to you. But if you're looking for your jersey numbers, because that's an important thing, Teron Davenport, our friend Teron Davenport, has tweeted out some of the roster. So for those of you looking to get your Johnny Hecker jersey, the punter is going to be wearing number 3. Tyler Lockett, number 4. Of course, Cam Ward wearing number 1. For those of you dying for a Tim Boyle jersey, he'll be wearing number 15 for your Tennessee Titans.
I don't know how I feel about this whole single-digit thing. A wide receiver is not supposed to have number 4.
Here are the single digits for the Titans. Calvin Ridley at 0, Cam Ward at 1, Tajay Spears at 2, Johnny Hecker at 3, Tyler Lockett at 4, Alec Iyo Manor at 5, Joey Sly at 6, Femi Oladejo at 7, Will Levis at 8, and Brandon Allen at 10.
I'm not sure. Outside the quarterback, single digits. I don't know how Calvin Ridley, the number 0, that sort of that fits him in a sense. I forgot what number he was in Atlanta. I think it was number not 11, but 13 somewhere around. He was in the teens, I believe. And then what did he wear in Jacksonville? Did he wear number 0 in Jacksonville?
He wore 0 in Jacksonville. He wore 18 in Atlanta.
18 in Atlanta. So you go from 18 to 0. It fits him. I don't know if the number 4 fits Tyler. Did he wear number 4? He didn't wear number 4 with the Seattle. With
16.
Seattle. Yeah, I just don't. Number 4. Number 4. There's been some heck of a number 4s. Was Peter Warwick number 4 or was Peter Warwick number 1? That was in college.
I don't want to crack open the door for you in jersey numbers, because we saw what happened the last time we talked about this.
Yeah, you're right. But no, I'm just saying, like, the number 4 jersey, I'm trying to think of, like a recognizable, a dominant number 4, whether it be in college or in the pros. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Peter Ward was 4.
But you are a number purist, so yeah. I imagine that you think that all receivers should wear numbers in the 80s.
Yeah, that's just me. I'm old school, man. But I get, you know, like, 1 wearing 1. You know, wearing number 11, I can see that. I wore number 13 going into college, so I'm kind of partial to that in a sense. But anything beyond that, just stay in the 80s. Like, receivers, 80s. Like, when you think of number 80, you think of Jerry Rice. Like, number 81, Tim Brown. And I know there are other great receivers. 83, Andre Reed. I mean, I can go down the line of 84, Sterling Sharp. I mean, it's just like 85, myself, Chad Johnson, whoever else. I can go down the line of great number 80s. they're making a name for themselves. I get it.
Look, it's the cool thing to do.
Yeah, I get it.
Remember when Allen Iverson started wearing a shooting sleeve and then everybody started wearing a shooting sleeve?
Jordan started wearing a calf sleeve. Everybody wanted to wear calf sleeve.
Right, so now all the cool receivers want to wear single digits.
Listen, I am not being the get off my lawn guy. I'm not being that guy. I'm just saying I like the number 80s because as you've seen, I've rattled off like basically all the 80s great numbers that at least I believe that are great numbers of guys that have played well. And then you look at the single digits, and I know there's no precedent for it. Like there's nothing before this, so I got to get used to it. But one, yes. Eight, yes. 11, yes. But anything, I don't know, man.
One texter says, Ricky says, Oladejo switched his number to 7. Yes, Ricky, Oladejo switched his number to 7. So if you're interested in the numbers of the rookies, Aya Manor is wearing 5. Oladejo is wearing 7. These are the ones that I can see on the tweet from Teron Davenport. DK is wearing 17. Winston Jr. is wearing 23.
Okay.
But again, for those of you thirsting for a Tim Boyle jersey, he's wearing number 15. I'm not sure even his wife, and I assume he has children, want to wear a number 15 jersey. Who knows? But if you're yearning for a Tim Boyle jersey, he'll wear number 15. But today, the Titans are on the field for the next phase of offseason workouts, and they're looking for that big goal. They want to turn their season around. They want to be a playoff team. And a lot of Titans fans, we hear you. The national media, they don't talk about your favorite team very much. We saw it with Cam Ward, right? Mm-hmm. Cam Ward gets selected number 1 overall by the Tennessee Titans in the NFL draft. ESPN goes, that's cool. Let's talk about Shedeur Sanders for 15 more minutes. But Colin Cowherd on his show the other day was talking about people in the game who he thinks can be difference makers, one of whom is Cam Ward. And listen to what Colin Cowherd has to say about the impact that he thinks Cam Ward can have on the Tennessee Titans.
To me, it's all about changing outcomes. You know, you can say, oh, this guy will be – you don't know. There's 4 people – this is a head coach quarterback league. There's 4 people, and only 4 in my opinion, that will change outcomes. Number 1 is Cam Ward, Tennessee. They led the NFL last year in turnovers. They were so hard to watch offensively, where even games they outplayed teams, Tennessee was so bad at quarterback with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph that they lost games where they out-physicaled, out-schemed, and outplayed teams. That's why Brian Callahan was often so frustrated with Will Levis. He knew he out-schemed and they out-toughed and out-physicaled and out-played and out-called teams and lost. Cam Ward is accurate, moves, coachable. I mean, Miami's had some good quarterbacks. He broke all the Miami records. He's a 67% completion percentage guy. I think he's a really special player. I thought he was easily the best quarterback in this class. And again, he's humble. He was a 0-star recruit. There's a history of this league when guys come in without a lot of stars and without a lot of pats on the back, nobody's pandering to them. That's jet fuel. So I think Cam Ward changes outcomes. I think Tennessee is going to be a playoff team.
So that was Colin Cowherd on his program. By the way, the other 3 people, because he mentioned 4 people, the other 3 people, he mentioned Geno Smith with the Raiders. He mentioned Ben Johnson coaching the Bears. And of course, Mike Vrabel coaching the Patriots. So along with Cam Ward, those were the 4 people who Colin Cowherd thinks can be franchise changers this coming season. And I don't think anybody around here truly believes that the Tennessee Titans are going to be a playoff team. It sounds nice, but I don't think it's possible. ESPN put out their Football Power Index today. It's their analytics model, and I love this stuff, but I'm not going to pretend to understand all of it. And even if I did, I'm not going to bore you with the minutia. But their data suggests that the Titans start the season as the 2nd worst team in the NFL, only ahead of the New Orleans Saints. So more than likely the Titans are probably going to be in a position to draft at the top of the draft, more so than making the playoffs. But the question I have for you, Derek Mason, to start this conversation is, how does that happen? How do the Tennessee Titans somehow make the playoffs? Because I don't think it happened this past season, but it seemingly happens every season, that a team that finishes last in its division finishes first the following season. We saw it with the Houston Texans a couple of years ago. I do not believe it happened this past season, but it seemingly happened every season, where a team that was the worst in its division wins its division, which means making the playoffs.
Well,
so it does happen.
Look at the Commanders. You know, they were a bad team. And they ended up, I think, second behind Philadelphia in their division, end up going to the NFC championship game. So, you see teams in this league, if they do it, if they hit on one guy in the draft and possibly one guy in free agency, if it hits right, then more than likely you're going to have a better season you did the previous season. And if it hits with the quarterback, you can sometimes double that, you know, in regards to your record the next following season. Listen, when you look at the Titans, and listen, they were a bad team last season. This team had no depth. They haven't been able to truly develop anyone behind the starters. And you look at the starters last year, and a bulk of those guys were free agent guys that they brought in. So you can't say that they developed those guys. But when you're talking about homegrown guys that they've drafted, they haven't had a good track record lately in regards to those guys developing. Or developing to a point where they are, you know, consistently, producing for this team. Because you look at Chigakonkwo, and he's developed, but not to a point where we can count on him consistently every week. So he has to up his game this upcoming season. But if you look, I'm just looking at this objectively, and people may think I'm crazy, but I like to look at it from both sides of the coin. If you look at the score, just look at the score of the Titans games, with the exception of the Lions game, and that game, I mean, the offense was truly the reason why they lost that game. Outside of Buffalo, Detroit, which are two of the top teams in the National Football League, and Washington, the Commanders, who were another top team in this year's NFL season, last year's NFL season. All those other games were within striking distance, were winnable games. But they couldn't win. Why? Because the quarterback, the ineptness of the quarterback in the offensive line.
I remember tracking this near the beginning of the season. And once the season went down the toilet, I stopped caring about it as much. But early in the season, they were up at halftime quite a bit.
Yes.
If the Titans played two quarters instead of four, they'd be a 500 team, it felt like at one point early in the season. By the way, to answer my own question, since the league's realignment in 2002, there have been four seasons that did not feature a worst-to-first story. 2002, 2014, 2019, and 2024. So it did not happen last season, but it's rare that it doesn't happen.
Exactly. So the Titans can perceivably be one of those teams. And I just want people to sort of – because, listen, I have been on this team, but I've tried to be fair with this team as well. I'm not going, you know, too far left. I just tried to be fair with this team, knowing where they are at, taking all of that into account. Who put them there, who helped them, all of that, and the guys even now. So I try to be objective when I'm talking about the Titans. But again – if you just look at the games, the theme was always, if the quarterback just don't mess it up, we'll be okay. And then it was, okay, the offensive line. But the offensive line, it was just so much shuffling going on. And then when Cushenberry went down, it was pretty much a disaster after that. But if you look at just the team and the score, each one of these games that they participated in, they were within striking distance, all but like three of them. And they were against the top three teams in the NFL. Washington, Buffalo, and Detroit. They got blown out those games. But if you look at the other games, if they get good quarterback play, a quarterback that can push the ball down the field, a quarterback that won't make the mistake, then this would have been a much better team. I'm not saying they would have went to the playoffs. I'm not going that far. But this shouldn't have been a two-win team, regardless of the depth they don't have. Why? Because in each and every game outside of those three games, they had an opportunity. And every time we would say the quarterback did something to mess it up. Now, again, the defense has to, because they scored 30-some points, and they gave up 38 points against Cincinnati. I think they scored like 31 or 30. They gave up 38. So the defense got to do their part at times. But you're talking about the one of the highest scoring offenses last year in the NFL, and you're asking them to try to stop them when the offense is really not giving you nothing. But the offense gave you something. Why? Because Cincinnati was just as bad on defense as you were on offense. So it sort of balanced itself out, 30-38. But as I start to look at this a little bit more as we head into the, you know, into camps, I don't think they're far away from being a winning team. Now, they can't have no setbacks because a lot of this hinges on Cam Ward. But I think they are closer to being a winning team. And believe me, winning doesn't equate to making it to the playoffs each year or getting into the Super Bowl or winning playoff games. I think they will be able to play winning football and win more games than they won in last year and even, you know, the season before that. I think this is going to be a good team, but this everything hinges on the development of the quarterback and how they sort of, you know, figure this thing out, you know, the offensive line, quarterback, and then the receivers. But as I start to look at it more and more, it's like, man, this team is – they are a bad team, but I think sometimes because we see it every day, they're not as bad as what I have perceived them to be.
Quickly, I just did the math. In their first five games of last season, they led at halftime three times, trailed once, and were tied once. They led the Bears and the Jets at halftime and lost those games. They were down 20-7 to Green Bay at halftime and lost that game. They were up 9-3 on Miami, mm-hmm. won that game, and they were tied at 10 with Indianapolis and lost that game. So that would be 2-2-1 mm-hmm. if games ended at halftime in the first five games of last season.
So this team, listen, they were not – I'm not saying that the Titans would have made it to the playoffs last year. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. If they can fix, and it's a big if they can fix the problem that ailed them every game last season, every game, even when they won those two, if they can figure out the quarterback position, I think they're going to be closer to being a winning team than not.
615-737-1025. Colin Cowherd says that he thinks that Cam Ward is going to make the Titans a playoff team. I want that to be emphasized so that people don't say, can you believe that Adam Ving and Derek Mason said the Titans are going to make the playoffs? We're not saying that.
No.
Colin Cowherd said that. I want to hear how you think that happens. What has to happen for the Titans to make Colin Cowherd look like an incredible genius? 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Indianapolis. Pregame begins at 5:20 and first pitch is at 5:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
What's the energy been like with Cam Ward getting in the building?
Yeah, it's been great. Great kid, humble kid, outgoing. He's only been here because they started their rookie minicamp last Thursday. So he's only been there a couple of days. Tomorrow, mark a week. So he's real quiet, but definitely pushing himself to learn the system. He's a leader, you know, takes accountability for, you know, himself. And whenever he, you know, makes a mistake before, you know, anybody can ever say anything about it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for him. I think he has an amazing future ahead of him. Yeah, so I'm super static for that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. What should the expectation be for Titans fans that are watching this right now, fired up?
Yeah. I mean,
about the season.
Everything that we are doing right now is pushed to be the best. Like, it's not, we want to win a couple more games it's none of that. Like, you know, I talked to my people like about the areas that I needed to fix and the areas that as a team we needed to fix. And, you know, I've addressed my areas and the team addressed our team areas. And it's like, we're trying to establish our culture here and our identity and who we are as a team. So, you know, getting Cam Ward and getting the other guys as well, it's like we're establishing that. Like, that is what it is. Like, this is our culture, you know? And we sat down and went through everything as far as, you know, what it means to be a Tennessee Titan, what it means to be here, what it means to the fans, what it means to everybody, you know? So it wasn't just like a on-the-field thing. It was like everybody being connected with the community and everybody. So, you know, pushing ourselves to be the best versions of ourselves and be excellent is exactly what we're striving to be.
That was J.C. Latham on Bussin' with the Boys. One texter just said, how many times did JC say in this interview? I did not count. By the way, one texter earlier said, whose number, Mike from Shelbyville said, whose number did we unretire for Tim Boyle wearing number 15? It wasn't retired. It was retired, however, in our hearts.
Yes.
For Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who wore number 15. So do you have a problem with that, Derek? Do you have a problem with Tim Boyle wearing Ikhine's number?
He better, if he ever get a chance, he better step up, because that's what Nick Westbrook-Ikhine did.
So Colin Cowherd on his program put it out there. He thinks that Cam Ward is such a difference maker that he is going to help lead the Tennessee Titans to the playoffs. Again, wishful thinking, I think. But Colin Cowherd said it, so we're discussing it. 615-737-1025. And there were a couple of texts to this effect. Taylor on our text line said, C.J. Stroud has to get hurt. Trevor Lawrence has to remain a bust. Colts have to be the Colts, and 8 wins has to win the division. Mike in Lebanon said, the Titans will make the playoffs if other teams have significant injuries. And that is one thing that does work in the Titans' favor, is that they play in the AFC South. We were talking about teams that go worst to first. Mm-hmm. The last two teams to do that were in the AFC South. The Houston Texans went from 3-13-1 to 10-7. The Jacksonville Jaguars went from 3-14 to 9-8 in 2022. So it's happened in the AFC South the past two times it's happened. So we don't know what Jacksonville is going to look like this season. New coach, Travis Hunter's there, Brian Thomas is there. We'll see what happens with Trevor Lawrence and whether Liam Cohen can get the most out of Trevor Lawrence. Indianapolis, unfortunately, the owner just died. They're working through all of that. On the field, it's about Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones. Who's going to play quarterback? Who the heck knows? And the Houston Texans are the best team in the division. However, they did take a step back last season. So perhaps they weren't as ready for primetime as we thought when C.J. Stroud took us all by storm in his rookie season. So one thing that is working in the Titans' favor in this situation, Derek, is that there is no big bad. There is no final boss in the AFC South. There's no Buffalo. There's no Baltimore. There's no Kansas City in this division. So that works in the Titans' favor when talking about how it could possibly be that they make the playoffs.
Yeah, the last three seasons, the AFC South has been won with a record of basically 9.5 wins. That's what it's been over the last three seasons. Whoever's won AFC South has had an average of 9.5 wins. And two of the seasons was Houston. And then before that, it was Indianapolis, I think. Yeah, you said Indianapolis.
In the past three seasons, it has taken no more than 10 wins. Mm-hmm. To win the AFC South. The Texans won it at 10-7. Each of the past 2 years, the Jags, of course, taking advantage of the Titans' misery at the end of that season, won it at 9-8. So it has taken no more than 10 wins. And I'd be curious where that matches up against other divisions, but it has required no more than 10 wins over the past three seasons to win the AFC South.
No, it hasn't. And if you just look at it since 2019, outside of the Titans going 11-5 two seasons in a row, I believe, and Indianapolis was 11-5 one of those seasons as well, it's been 10 wins that win the division. So that tells me that this division hasn't gotten significantly better. In those five from 2019 to now, this division hasn't gotten significantly better. So that will continue to leave an avenue open for the Tennessee Titans. Also, the good part is this, is that the three teams ahead of them are all but Jacksonville are dealing with quarterbacks still under their first contract. So they're still developing. They're still learning. They're still trying to put teams, you know, put players around those guys. Now, Houston has been able to sustain it over the last 2 years, but they didn't look like the team they did. Last year's team didn't look like the year prior to that. They just looked totally different. Now, you could say it was injuries, but, you know, a lot of that, yes. But the Titans still are in play, and a lot of it hinges on the quarterback play. Just like with Houston, a lot of it hinged on C.J. Stroud. Indianapolis, a lot of it hinged on Richardson, and they botched that whole thing. And look at how they ended up. Jacksonville, a lot of it hinges on Trevor Lawrence. And what has Trevor Lawrence been? Inconsistent. And he's been hurt. So that's why Jacksonville are where they are. And now here comes the Titans with their new quarterback. So the Titans, again, I don't think the Titans are in a – I think the situation they're in is not as bad as what people perceived it to be. Because if you're looking at the other teams in this division, there's no clear-cut runaway team in this division. I understand that Houston has the upper hand right now, but Houston didn't look like the team they were 2 years ago. Last year, they struggled the whole season, it seemed like.
I imagine that the Texans will be the heavy favorite among observers to win the AFC South. I am also
you
waiting.
You think they're going to be heavy now that with Liam Cohen in Jacksonville? People may buy into the Liam Cohen, you know, some success that he had.
Not if they hear him say
Tampa.
Duval.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So the way I see it too is, and there's also the inevitable, thinking about the best way to say this, the inevitable annual slobbering all over the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah,
that tends to happen every single summer. Watch out for the Colts. Have you seen the Colts? You better watch out for the Colts. By the way, in the FPI rankings, which I referenced earlier from ESPN, their analytics model, they have the Texans as the 13th best team in the NFL. They have the Jags at 22, the Colts at 23, and the Titans at 31. So if you're going by that model, the Texans are heavy favorites.
Yeah, and it is expected at this point. Now, as we start getting into camp and everything else, then, you know, the odds may change a little bit. But again, I do believe that there's an avenue. And the AFC South, to my in my opinion, will only get one team out of their division.
Yeah,
into the
probably.
Playoffs, and it's going to be whoever wins the division, obviously. So this leaves – it continues to leave an opening for the Titans. Now, if you look down the list of the teams – and I think we will discuss this a little bit later as far as the teams within the conference, you know, their pros and cons. But just analyze every team in the conference. And when you sit down and you look at it, like, objectively, you see the Titans – do have an opportunity to you know, position themselves for a late push in the season.
A lot of home games at the end
exactly.
of the season.
So it may if they can win those 50 some of those 50-50 games like they had last year, if they can win two of those, three of those, then as the second half of the season starts to approach, I think they have more of an avenue to sort of, you know, slide in there and again, be a winning team.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Colin Cowherd's thoughts that Cam Ward is enough to push the Titans to the playoffs. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, I was doing some research on this topic, and what I found was, I feel like I should have known this, but when I wrote it down, I was surprised by it. And it does have to do with Cam Ward and rookie quarterbacks. That's coming up next, 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you that 1025 The Game is your racing station. Tune in this weekend for all of the NASCAR races, at the Nashville Super Speedway on The Game, presented by Green Trees. On Friday, there's the Rackley Roofing 200 at 7. There's the Tennessee Lottery 250 at 6:30 on Saturday, and the Cracker Barrel 400 at 6 on Sunday. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Green Trees Company is a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville in a new location in West Nashville, and available online at greentreescompany.com. This week's Nashville's best deal of the week is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us to start the noon hour. But Derek, I was doing some research after I heard that clip from Colin Cowherd on how he thinks the Titans can be a playoff team with Cam Ward under center. And I was surprised by this, and I don't know if I should have been surprised by this, but the number of rookie starting quarterbacks who have started playoff games over the past two decades. Now, I am only including rookie quarterbacks who were established starters for their team. So there are a few instances where a rookie quarterback had to come in because the starter was injured and they played in the playoffs. So I'm only talking about rookie quarterbacks who were the starter for their team, who started playoff games in their rookie season since 2004.
Okay.
Ben Roethlisberger in 2004 with Pittsburgh. Joe Flacco in 2008 with Baltimore, as Derek knows all too well. Matt Ryan in 2008 with Atlanta. Mark Sanchez in 2009 with the Jets. Andy Dalton in 2011 with Cincinnati. Andrew Luck in 2012 with Indianapolis. Robert Griffin in 2012 with Washington. Russell Wilson in 2012 with Seattle. So three rookie starting quarterbacks in 2012. Dak Prescott 2016 with Dallas. Lamar Jackson 2018 with Baltimore. Mac Jones 2021 with New England. Brock Purdy 2022 with San Francisco. CJ Stroud 2023 with Houston. Jaden Daniels 2024 with Washington. Bo Nix 2024 with Denver. So I believe that is 15. I think that's my quick math. 15 rookie starting quarterbacks in playoff games since 2004. Are you doing your quick math too?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get the so it was Russell, Dalton,
Roethlisberger, Flacco, yep, Ryan, that, Sanchez, Dalton. Yep, that's five.
Okay.
Luck, Griffin, Wilson, Prescott, Jackson.
Okay,
that's Prescott, 10.
Yep.
Jones, Jackson, Purdy, Stroud, Daniels, Nick. So that's 15.
Jones, Purdy, Stroud, Nix.
Okay. 15 rookie starting quarterbacks in playoff games since 2004, excluding injury replacements.
Yes.
So I was surprised by that number. I felt like I should have known that, but that's a lot.
Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson, he didn't start off as the starter, I don't believe. Did he?
No, he was not the starter.
Flacco was the starter.
I think he came in at week 8 or something around that time.
He came in later.
But in leading into the playoffs
he was the starter heading to the playoffs. Listen.
Any common threads about those teams in particular that stand out to you?
I'm looking at all these teams and, you know, whether it be Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, Sanchez. I think that third one was Ben. Ben Flacco and who?
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco. Matt Ryan. Those were the first three.
I couldn't read my own writing.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think those three guys came in with established coaches. Just those three.
So you have Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh.
Harbaugh had been there. That was Harbaugh's second year. I think it was his second year or third year, one of the two. And then Ryan, I don't know. I think their coach was there already prior to Matt Ryan getting there.
Mike Smith was their coach in 2008.
But if you start looking at these teams, each one of them, I think all of them, if you look at them, one, defense. You got to start with defense. If you look at all these teams, go down the list, they had a formidable defense. Maybe Jones did have a good defense that year. But if you look at all these teams from top to bottom, they all had a defense that could hold opponents, if they needed to, which meant they didn't have to score a bunch of points. If I'm not mistaken, now Atlanta, that may not be the case. But
well,
I know,
you have firsthand experience with Joe Flacco in 2008.
Yes. So,
and the Steelers historically have always had
good
defense.
And they ran the football.
So now, if I recall correctly, the Jets in 2009 with Sanchez.
Yeah. They had a hell of a defense.
That would have been Rex Ryan, right?
Yeah. They had a hell of a defense. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the common threads is, for me, and that's why I talk about the Titans' defense, that's why I asked TD, I think maybe a month ago, about how important will it be for Denard Wilson to make sure that defense is better than they were last year. Now, from a statistical standpoint, they were a good team. They were ranked in the top five. But if you start analyzing all of it, they gave up too many points. And now I tell you, some of that was on the offense, putting them in bad situations.
Gino on our text line says, every one of those teams had a really good running back and solid defense. Can you tell me the Titans have that? I don't have faith in that. It's not the same comparison right now with the Titans.
Listen, and he said exactly what I was leading to. Each one of these teams, they had I would assume they had a good defense. And like the texter said, they had a good run game.
Well, speak to your personal experience in 2008.
My personal experience is we had a good defense. We had a really good run game. And then we had sure-handed guys that can make plays when plays need to be made, whether it was Todd Heap or myself. So we had at least two of those guys in the passing game that can get the job done. And then you had guys in the backfield, Willis McGahee, McClain out of Alabama. He was converted fullback. He played running back for a bit for us in Baltimore. And then you draft Ray Rice as well. So you got a damn good run game, a good defense, and the quarterback just develop. You don't have to win games for us. And I'm pretty sure down the line, if you look at all these, look at Bo Nix. People think Bo Nix had this hell of a season last year. He really didn't. It was a good season. But their defense was really good. So he didn't have to outscore people each and every game, I don't believe. They had a hell of a defense. They had the defensive player of the year at defensive back. This defense was good. So when you start looking at these teams, you start to find common threads within all 12, 15 of these quarterbacks.
I'm just looking at three quickly because I don't have time to go through all of this. The 2004 Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger had the number one defense in terms of points per game. Mm-hmm. Your Ravens in 2008 were third in points allowed per game. The 2009 Jets were first in points allowed
per game. And this is why, like, people look at all that other stuff, which is, it has to work. I get it. The offensive line, they got to be in sync. I get all of that. I get all of that. But if you have a defense that can hold teams to less than 17 points a game, that's half the battle right there. Because now I don't have to score 21 points per game to win.
Shocker. Here's another one. In 2012, the Seahawks with Russell Wilson. Points against?
One.
First.
Exactly. So you start looking at all these common things.
That would have been Legion of Boom,
right? I
think
so, yeah. Because they wanted, it was the Legion of Boom. So when you start to look at it, it's just as important for the Titans to have a really good defense than it is for them to have a really good offense. That's why I say this team isn't too far off. Why? Because nobody within their division. Maybe the Houston Texans. But the rest of the teams in their division, their defense are suspect.
I'm gonna do this. I think I should follow up on this tomorrow, looking at these rookie quarterbacks and defense. But here's another one. 2018 Baltimore Ravens. Points against? Second.
So it's not people. And that's why I said that number, I mean that points per game that the Titans had last year, it must come down. They must cut that in half.
I mean, remember, they were second in the NFL in yards allowed, but I believe it was 30th.
Yes.
And points against. Given it. And, I don't know this to be true. I want to find a way that I can confirm it. I have to imagine that is the biggest gap between yards allowed and points allowed in NFL history. I have to imagine if it's not the biggest gap, it's one of the biggest gaps in NFL history.
It has to be. So, when I look at the Titans, it's like if I'm analyzing all these other quarterbacks that have had success, rookie quarterbacks that have had success within the NFL, you start to find these common things, and then you look to your team and you say, do they have a good running game? Yeah, Pollard is a good back. And I know why people sort of look at Pollard like, whatever. Because you've had Derrick Henry for 8 years.
And we're going to get to Tony Pollard later in the program.
I mean, he wasn't Derrick Henry the first couple of years, and that wasn't – I don't believe it was his fault. I just believe, as I said back then, they just didn't use him correctly because as he started to get more carries, as Coach Saban told you, he gets better and you weren't giving him the carries. But you have had the luxury of having the greatest runner – in the National Football League. So whoever comes after him is going to be, but Pollard's been a good back. He's powerful. He can run inside the tackles, outside the tackles. He can catch the football. Don't underestimate and slight what Pollard does. We are doing that too many times because we just perceive the Titans as being a bad team. But don't slight guys like Calvin Ridley and Pollard, guys that are getting the job done even though their team is bad. Pollard is a good back. So they got the running back situation. He's not Derrick Henry, I get it. But they got that part. They don't need to worry about that part, I don't think. So you can check that off the list. They need a defense. They need a defense and they need another go-to guy. And obviously, the offensive line, I'm not worried about that because I think they are going to be better. But again, because of the division that they're playing in, they are not too far off, people. Y'all act like this team is just, for the next 2 or 3 years, they're just going to be trash. I don't think that's the case. Why? Because I think they're going to get better. If you just look at it, I think they're going to get better. And then their division, that is the biggest reason why. It's their division. Their division is not like this, you know, division where teams are winning 11, 12, 13 games a year. There's no dominant team within the AFC South. Not one.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on that. But coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow will join us. We'll talk Titans. We'll talk college football playoff and more with Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 now to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details.